is Side Podcast, episode 10, 2007 season preview. It's only 1 week now.
We're counting the hours already, aren't we?
I really can't wait. I saw it in my TV guide. There's qualifying on next Friday night, and I practically died with excitement. These last 2 weeks have been really dire.
Well, you know, it's 1 week later than last year, don't you? That's probably why it seems longer.
I did not know that. That explains a lot. Anyway, today we're going to do a quick 2007 preview. Everyone's doing it. Autosport magazine, F1 racing magazine, all the blogs. And the teams have finally started sending their pre-race press releases.
Ah, that's always a good sign. The season must almost be here. But that does mean we have to watch ITV again.
Yeah, that is a problem.
Oh, no.
Only if you're in the UK, of course.
Well, I think, don't some other countries get a syndication feed of it as well? I'm sure other people have to listen to James Allen's witterings. I swear that man's only purpose is to explain to middle-aged women why Coronation Street is going to be late again this year when it gets to the US and Canadian Grand Prix.
I'd say with his pug face and ridiculously big hair, he's the perfect man for commentating.
You reckon? Mm. Perfect face for commentating.
Exactly.
Oh, jeez.
The year is 2007. The competition is fierce. 8 months, 5 continents, 17 races, 22 drivers.
Hold on, whoa. You're going a bit over the top here, aren't you? It's not Hollywood.
Oh, okay, fine. This year's calendar is subtly different to last year. They've dropped San Marino, but Spa is back. Germany doesn't host 2 races anymore because there's no European Grand Prix, and they've moved the Japanese race from Suzuka to Fuji, which has been off the calendar for 30 years.
So what you're saying is we're 1 race down now?
Yeah, basically. They're cheating us out of 1 race. It's starting later, and there are less races. There are 4 British drivers this year. David Coulthard is the oldest man on the grid, with over 200 race starts to his name. Lewis Hamilton is baby-faced, but he's not the youngest.
He's not the youngest?
No, Nico Rosberg still holds that title, born 6 months after Lewis.
Ah, so Lewis is the youngest Brit.
Yeah. 2 drivers are high up the table of Grand Prix drivers without a win. The Yeti leads the way with 117 starts, and Side Podcast favourite Mark Webber has 87.
Isn't Martin Brundle like top of the list, though?
He's the second highest ever with 158 starts without a win.
Ah, bless him.
All the other stats I can think of have Michael Schumacher on the top, so let's not go there, eh? I believe there are also some rule changes we need to talk about.
Yeah, the camera colour on top of the cars has changed. So the lead car, you know, on the roll hoop over the driver's head, there's a little T-shaped camera every car carries. So the lead car, the colour is now red, and second car colour is now yellow.
Why do they do that?
So you can tell them apart.
Oh. Well, that makes sense, I suppose. Why have you never told me that before? This whole time, I thought you were being really smart. I'd go, who's that? And you'd know straight away. You were cheating.
It's not cheating. It's knowledge.
Well, I feel stupid.
Anyway, Fridays have changed. We now have 2 90-minute sessions. Teams can use separate set of engines and a separate set of tyres for Fridays, so it should be loads and loads of racing on Fridays.
So they don't count that in the 2 race weekend thing?
Absolutely not, no. Also, during a dry race, teams have to run both types of tyre that Bridgestone supply. They've got 1 set of hard, 1 set of soft, which are distinguishable by a white sidewall marking. Also, safety car rules have changed. The moment the safety car message is displayed now, pit lane is closed for refuelling. Cars caught up in an accident can come in for repairs, but they can't be refuelled until all the cars are stacked up behind the safety car, when the pit lane will then be open again. Once the debris has been cleared, all lapped cars, that's basically backmarkers mixed up amongst the pack, they must overtake the lead drivers and the safety car, do a whole lap around the circuit, and then catch up with the back of the pack. Does that make sense?
What? Okay, hang on. So, cars that are mixed in between...
Yeah.
They get to go to the front?
They get to go to the back.
They pass round and go all the way around to the back.
Yeah.
So do they unlap themselves then?
Well, now that's a question that I don't know. Reading the FIA sporting regulations, as I want to do on an average, you know, Thursday evening.
Loser.
It's not entirely clear, to be honest with you. I've read them several times. Do you want me to read them to you? It's a bit complicated. This is what it says.
Is it any more complicated than what you just said?
It might make it a bit clearer.
Okay.
And I quote, "When the clerk of the course considers it safe to do so, And the message "lapped cars may now overtake" is shown on the timing monitors. Any lapped cars which were between the cars running on the lead lap at the time the safety car was deployed and also remain in that position will be required to pass the cars on the lead lap and the safety car. They must then proceed around the track at an appropriate speed without overtaking and take a position at the back of the line of cars behind the safety car.
What's an appropriate speed?
Well, that isn't clear. But what it doesn't tell me is whether or not that back marker gains their lap back or not. I presume they do because they've done one extra lap to everybody else. But
they'd still be in the same position. They'd just have unlapped themselves, wouldn't they?
Yeah, absolutely. Presumably that's true. And I guess you're not going to end up with a super guru ending the race 4 laps down.
That is very confusing.
Yes.
Please tell me that you have some simpler ones.
Well, under Article 31.6.
What a geek.
Don't be mean. You ask me, I'm telling you. It says, when imposing penalties, stewards may drop drivers a specified number of grid positions instead of a number of seconds penalty.
Didn't they do that already then?
No. Last season, when they applied a 2 second penalty to Michael Schumacher, he dropped less positions than anybody else they applied a 2 second penalty to. So basically, the stewards can now say, you will drop this number of positions regardless of how fast your lap time
was. So they're just saying, go to the back of the class.
Yeah, well, so they're saying going 10 places back instead of going 2.5 seconds back.
Well, that's how the season is set up. What about how the teams are going to shape up? I would like to do a little quiz now. For each team, I would like you to give me one sentence to sum up how you think they're doing and how they will do. And no comments about Honda's livery, please. Okay. First up, Super Aguri. It's their second year on the grid, having survived and, well, excelled in their debut season. No one thought they would do very well, but Sato claimed 10th in the last race, so things seem to be looking up. Plus this year, they've got Anthony Davidson, who is small, but drives fast. What do you think?
Well, with a combined height of 3.2 metres, let's hope they're not short on luck.
Oh my God, you're not on blind date now, you know. Are they all going to be like that?
No.
Next up, Spyker MF1 Racing, having changed 3 times in a very short period of time from Jordan to Midland to Spyker, the team are probably looking forward to having a bit of consistency. Consistently slow? Only time will tell.
A little less Russian? A little more action, please.
All this aggravating ain't satisfactioning me. Scuderia Toro Rosso. Supposedly, Gerhard Berger has a 3-year plan to get Toro Rosso to the top. They're in their second year, and I'm not sure if it's going to plan or not. But with arguments over chassis buying and delayed driver announcements, there's never a dull moment for the Red Bull B team.
Yeah, I prefer when they're at the back and called Minardi.
Williams F1 has suffered a lot since splitting with BMW, and it really seems to be their heritage that is keeping them going. However, they've got a young go-getter and an older, experienced guy, so this may be their year to get some balance.
I can't wait for them to beat Toyota with their own engine.
Red Bull Racing have splashed out and coaxed Adrian Newey away from McLaren. It'll be nice for David Coulthard to see a familiar face from his McLaren days, especially as his team partner is Mark Webber. Nothing against Mark, but he and the team will need some reliability to get anywhere this year.
I quite like their magazine Red Bulletin.
Okay, nothing about the team then.
Nope.
Toyota seemed to be lacking drive and enthusiasm last year. Trulli and Ralf Schumacher are both veterans of the sport with well over 150 race starts each. But wins are few and far between for the pair and they'll both be hoping for a bit more oomph.
They're going to need a lot more than a bit of oomph this year.
BMW Sauber must be laughing into their boots after a really good display in testing over the winter. They're outpacing their ex-partners Williams at every stage, and with the Yeti and startlingly quick but yet to prove himself Kubica, these guys may be the ones to watch.
Replacing Honda as best of the rest.
Talking of Honda, they've caused shockwaves amongst fans and foes alike with their new colour and sponsorship schemes. Last year they oozed confidence and didn't really do too well. This year, they're not so cocky, so it might be that karma does them a favour for once. Okay, you don't want to talk about Honda. McLaren have done a good thing by poaching Alonso. They've got some really good talent in the double world champion and new kid on the block, Hamilton. I wonder if he's sick of being called a rookie yet. Anyway, if they can improve reliability, they'll be on top form for the season ahead.
Constructors champion 2007.
Wow. Ferrari will be feeling the loss of Michael, there's no doubt about it. But they have some consistency in Felipe Massa, and they have a fantastically quick driver in Raikkonen, even if he doesn't quite fit the image they're looking for. Testing has been pretty positive for the Reds as well.
WDC 2007.
Get you, WDC. And lastly, Renault. They suffered a bit of a setback in testing when Kovalainen smashed into the barriers at Bahrain. They weren't exactly on sterling form previous to that, though, with mid-range times. Neither driver seems to have the whole package, although there could be flashes of brilliance from either or both.
Kovalainen's crash damaged their early season chances. I expect them to play catch-up for the rest of the season.
I think that might be two sentences, but I'll let you off. Okay, so the first race of the season is next weekend, 18th of March at Albert Park in Australia. The track is 3.3 miles long and there'll be 58 laps. Previous three winners at this race were Alonso, Fisichella and Schumacher.
Now, I know this track really well because it's usually the first course on the PlayStation game, which I usually play and then get bored quite quickly. I also like that they paint the gravel traps different colours,
mm-hmm.
kind of yellow
purple.
And blue. Yeah, absolutely. And there's usually lots of crashes.
Which will be good for seeing whether the safety car rules that you tried to explain earlier, whether they work or not.
Yeah, it's a shame we have to get up at midnight. I liked last year when we could watch it in the middle of the afternoon.
That was good, yeah, because, you know, staying awake is hard.
Yeah, and also this year, the race isn't sponsored by Foster's, it's sponsored by ING.
No so, Foster's girls.
No Foster's girls.
Are you kidding?
No.
But that's what, like, made it worthwhile staying up that late.
Sorry.
So, not many hours to go now. What are we going to do next week?
Well, I was thinking, because there's a lot of news and a lot of things going on, it's all quite exciting. Maybe we should do a podcast after qualifying on the Saturday, and then another one after the race on Sunday. What do you think?
Two podcasts?
Yeah, it's a lot of work.
It's a lot of talking.
It is a lot of talking. Maybe we'll try it. See how it goes.
We'll try it, and then you guys can let us know what you think.
Do check back and have a listen.
Before we go, though, I just have to say, Daily F1 Blog is no longer... But good news, it's all gone to Side Podcast now instead. The posts will be over there.
Or over here,
or
if this is where you're listening.
Over here, yes.
Depending where you are.
Sure of the grammar on that.
Why have you done that?
Well, it just seemed to make sense to have everything in the same place. Plus, I've expanded some of the pages on Side Podcast to include links and also a photos page where you can get to all our Formula One photographs.
Oh, do we have any Formula One photographs?
Yeah, you know, things like Autosport and stuff. Plus, there'll be plenty more in the future.
Okay, so it's all under one roof.
That's the idea.
Fair enough. You've been busy then.
I have, yeah.
I like to see that, you know, you're putting the effort in. What else have we been doing this week?
Well, you've been quite busy this week, forging links with the people over at Formula1.net.
Ah, yeah, those good people. Well, you say I've been forging links, but aren't you now an official guest writer for them?
Yeah, well, I've signed up. I haven't actually written anything yet.
But you're going to.
It's on my to-do list.
We promised we'd give them a shout-out during the show.
Very good forums, obviously.
Absolutely.
Formula One.
Got something. You see what they did there?
Yeah, it's very clever.
We connected a similar thing, didn't we? Side podcast.
Formula One.
Exactly.
Fantastic.
So, you know, if you're into chatting about Formula One, you want to find, you know, some like-minded people to have a chat with, get on over there. What's the URL?
Formula1.net.
There's a link on the homepage.
Okay, that's it for now. Join us next week when we'll be doing two podcasts, apparently.
Doing the double.
Mm-hmm. Don't forget to tune into all the coverage of the race for yourself next weekend, and let us know what you think.